You are listening to Clearly Connected, a podcast that inspires new ways to reconnect to ourselves, to others, and to our natural environment in a world where so many of us are disconnected. I'm your host, Carrie Doan. I'm a life coach, an entrepreneur, an advocate for change, and a believer in all things possible. Today, I'm eager to bring my guest on, outdoor enthusiast Chris Emick, to discuss how to live a life with no regrets. We'll share how adventure can create some of our most memorable stories while fostering our deepest connections, creating a life worth living. I'm so glad you're here to join us as we aim to live life to the fullest while moving closer to a more deeply connected way of living. Welcome back, all you beautiful people. Today, I am so excited to have a conversation with my friend and someone I look up to as a life adventurer. His name is Chris Emick, and he and I are going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is how to live a life centered on adventure and personal freedom. I think that Chris is the type of guy who lives life outside the box of quote unquote normal societal standards while prioritizing things like adventure and authenticity and connection. So today I get to pick his brain on these top values of mine so that we can all be inspired to creatively stretch ourselves maybe into something new and exciting. So before we dive in, I'm going to give a brief intro about my guest, Chris. Chris is a husband, father, and outdoor enthusiast who is madly in love with living an authentic life. And through rental real estate, their family has managed to step away from traditional employment, and now they enjoy this abundance of time to connect, to adventure, and grow. And when he's not out shitting in the woods, you can find Chris planning the next trip, connecting with unique and colorful people, or sitting alone in stillness. So Chris, I love that intro of you. I'm so glad you're here to join me in this conversation.
Oh, likewise, Carrie. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad for any chance really to chat with you, and hopefully we bring some nuggets to your audience that they can find some excitement about life and adventure and growth and all of those things that I think you and I value so much.
I have no doubt about that. And I was just reflecting on how, I think it was last year, I got to interview your beautiful bride, Deb, on her journey and story of reconnection. And I love that, like, you, Chris, have this other angle on connection, which is what this podcast is centered all around. And your flavor, I mean, I know Deb shares this with you too, but your flavor has this emphasis on adventure and, like I said, authenticity. And I love that. So I'm thrilled to kind of unpack your mind and your thoughts around that. And maybe what we could do before we take it to a deeper level is, if you don't mind, to just share a little bit about your story. You know, like, when you were young, were you always this kind of adventure seeking type? Or take us along the path of kind of what brought you to seeing life in this way now?
Yeah, I would say so. Like, as a kid, I liked to play. And I mean, that sounds obvious, but I was a kid that grew up in rural Colorado on farms and ranches with lots and lots of cousins. And while I don't have any full siblings, I have stepbrothers and half sisters and all of that kind of thing. And so play was just, I mean, there was a lot of freedom extended to us kids. And so we just found all sorts of ways to play and do cool things, do naughty things, do things that taught us lessons about life, not from a parent, but by, like, oh, wow.
We're going to the hospital and that kind of stuff. So adventurous or playful,
or maybe a little, I don't know, risky. Like, I wouldn't say I'm like a super risky type of person, but I just always found that when I'm able to play and be light and all of that. I usually just have some amazing experiences. And so growing up as a kid, I played a lot. I hung out with my cousins and we did adventurous things. We were in a place where home was, you know, we were always around home. So I didn't do any like big travel or anything outside of our own little playground. But I didn't even feel like I needed that or missed that. Whereas nowadays, you know, I kind of move around the world and do some adventuring in that ways. But anyways, that's kind of like probably the roots of that desire to live a life that kind of made me feel most alive. I wasn't aware of it at the time that that's why I did it, but I just knew that I gravitated towards that and it brought me a lot of joy.
I love that. I really do. And I think a lot about this idea of play and how, you know, this is where so much learning and growth happens and joy, I think, too. Yeah. And it seems like somewhere along the way of becoming adults, we tend to kind of lose touch with that part of ourselves. And that's likely because of demands and responsibilities and just sometimes things get hard, right? So I love that you've been able to maintain that. And even now in midlife, like you're prioritizing that. And I would imagine, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that that's where so many of your best memories likely come from.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It is so true. Like that is where my emotional memories are rooted in, usually an adventure that went well or an adventure that went wrong. And just the laughs and the cries and everything that comes along with stretching yourself to try life that, you know, honestly, I just feel like not many of us adults try anymore. And it makes me sad. And that's honestly, like, I feel like this chapter of life is built upon, I want to see other people able to find that. How are they to find it?
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking to myself, you know, the best stories don't come from talking about our nights sitting watching Netflix, which maybe there's some,
right,
but it's
right.
The ones, like you said, where there's a level of spontaneity, maybe, or you're doing something new and uncomfortable on the edge. Or maybe, yeah, something unexpected happens that you wouldn't have anticipated. And so that, when you think about the totality of those kinds of stories in one's existence, like, to me, that's a life well lived, right? Yeah. Those highs and lows and twists and turns that kind of, it makes it appealing and intriguing. So I guess on that thread, do you mind to share with us like one of your most memorable adventures and what you might have learned from it?
Yeah. So one that comes to mind as you asked that is, it's probably been 4 or 5 years now, but my wife and my two daughters, we all went to Ecuador. And the adventure for me was, I'd never been out of like the North American continent. So I've been to Mexico plenty of times, Canada and all of that, but I hadn't left North America. So I was like, okay, I want to try another continent. So that was something that was going to be new. I like speaking Spanish. I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I try and I like trying. And I wanted to go somewhere beyond Mexico, especially like Mexico resort towns, that I wasn't going to be able to use the crutch of knowing that the person I was talking to could speak English. So if we had to if we had to fall back to the default of English, I knew that option wouldn't be there. Some of the places we were going to go in Ecuador. So before we even took our first step into the beautiful Andes Mountains or any of that kind of stuff, I was trying to stretch my comfort zone in a few different ways. And I was trying to be mindful of the fact that I'm taking three other souls along with me. And while I'm curating this trip, I don't want it just to be completely miserable, because when my oldest daughter, Claire, who's 17 now, was very young, I did like to stretch her comfort zone along with mine. And I kind of forced her into a lot of my outdoor passions, just thinking that I was doing her a favor, but never really checking in with her on like, is this adventure to you? Is this fun to you? Is this joy to you? So here I am planning this trip trying to be mindful of, I don't want to make this a suffer fest for everyone. And at the same time, I want to stretch each of our comfort zones and hopefully stay present enough to the fact that when I'm doing that, I'm checking in with them and asking them and all of that. So we get to Ecuador and we spend the first 4 or 5 days doing this backpacking trip. And it's European style backpacking, so we don't have to take like our food and our shelter with us every night. So we're landing in a hostel each night that we hike to. So it's basically just having the appropriate clothing and the, you know, the wherewithal to hike from one place to another. And it's set up in these beautiful Andes mountains, you know, high elevation. So we're going from 8,000 to 12,000, back down to 8,000 throughout our day. We're passing through these tiny villages, like one of the villages we passed through. We just happened to be walking through the town. I bet the population of the town is 100, but there was probably 20 or 30 kids in school and they all got out on recess. And they're not used to seeing, you know, people of our skin color, and especially my daughter's age, walking through their town. And so it was just this cool thing of like, here we are, we stopped and took a break while they were on recess, and they were shy of us and we were shy of them, and we didn't really speak the language they spoke well. It was like, oh, we have some candies or some snacks, let's share those. And so so we did that, and then so that was part of it. But then also, it's just like I said, the natural beauty of this place, like these just beautiful tall peaks covered in green. And then the culmination of the trip was on day 4. We come to the rim of this extinct volcano that is now filled in with this beautiful, it looks like the color of like glacial water. So that beautiful aqua, teal, whatever color. It was just like, oh, it just takes your breath away. So it was like, there is so much in just those first 4 days, whether you want to look at adventure as like getting outdoors and being in a beautiful place or meeting new people or trying new things or, you know, like crying and suffering, you know, because there was rain and some of my youngest daughter slipped and she grabbed this fence that was barbed wire and it cut up her hand and all of that. So yeah, it wasn't all pretty, but it was just an amazing adventure that a lot of people and my own inner voice were saying, this probably isn't something you should do. Like, this isn't what normal parents do or responsible parents do. So.
Oh, I know, but I love that. I'm sitting here thinking like, well, multiple things. One is, how it sounds like you're in touch with what's real, you know, like those hard moments that you experience together and then you work through it, you're there for each other. Those can be such bonding moments, and yeah, they're painful, but there's like an intimacy, I think, that can come from that. But then in addition to that, I sense and kind of hear all these different layers and levels of connection that you're able to experience. So for example, you know, these people in the town, you don't have the language maybe to communicate, but there is this other universal language of, let's say, generosity, you know, where you're offering something to them. And even in spite of that barrier, you're able to connect to them on a human level. And then even beyond that, as you're talking about nature and that felt experience or the expanse or the overwhelming, I don't know, enormity of it all, like you're connecting to that too. So I love that. That's what I think so many people who do prioritize adventure, what they're trying to go after. And that actually leads me into the next question that I wanted to ask you. Maybe we answered it to some degree already, but like, how do you, Chris, see this value of connection and adventure coinciding? Is it kind of what I just said, or do you have more to speak on around that?
Yeah, it's exactly what you said. And the layers component to that is, I think, because there's all sorts of connection. There's connection internally. So each of us, as we're doing this hike, is having this internal connection and dialogue with ourselves about like, why are we here? Why are we doing this? Is this important? Is this joyful? And that's what the nice part about a long hike or walk allows for is a lot of time for having those kinds of connections with yourself. So I think so much growth has happened for me and is still yet to come, comes with that just connection to self, that authentic self of who I am. Why am I doing this? Why am I trying to push my daughter to go faster or not take a break? You know, all of those kinds of things. And let alone the other, like I said, my wife and my two daughters, what they're going through at the time. But then, yeah, the connection, you said the universal language of generosity, but this universal language of curiosity as well. Whereas we're sitting there and I'm staring at these beautiful brown faces and they're staring back at me and our faces were covered in, you know, dirt and dust and all that kind of stuff. And there's just, you can just tell there's this innate curiosity of like, even though we don't have maybe the words to be able to ask, it's like with your eyes and all of that, you're just connecting with another human and you're doing it. I don't know. It's not like you have to go on a hike in Ecuador to be able to connect with other humans, but in that moment, you're just so, I guess, at peace, or you're so surrounded with novelty that you're just kind of, you're a kid again. You're curious mm-hmm. about things like, why is this thing this color? Or what happens if I do this? You know, it's just, you just tap into that. And so then, another component of connection to me is the connection with like God or spirituality or the universe or the cosmos. It's just like, I have lots of names for that kind of connection too. But yeah, so there's like this, at least three layers of connection happen. Oh, and four, like me and my daughters and my wife, you know, connecting with ourselves or with each other through these tough moments, through the exciting moments, through the funny moments and all of that. And so, yeah, just such an, I don't know, such an honor or privilege or just like, it just feels so human to me to embrace that.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I think, you know, another word that's coming up for me that could be, I think, likened to connection is this, it's the word attunement. It's like you're in tune with maybe your surroundings or yourself or another person in a heightened way. And that's what I think being in these novel environments and experiences, it does kind of like activate your senses, I think, in a different kind of way than when you're in the familiar, mundane routine of life. So I kind of pick that up as you're talking. It's like, oh, it puts you in tune with other people, things, places. And then even like you're talking about like this more meta level to your spirituality, which was another question I want to ask you, Chris, like, if you don't mind to... Maybe if you can put some language or words around how has, you know, either being in these adventurous experiences or just prioritizing this aspect of your life informed and maybe expanded upon you as a spiritual creature on earth?
Yeah, it shaped me, you know, profoundly. So up until I started going out into the mountains here in Colorado and exploring, adventuring, climbing, hiking, and doing all of that, I had only thought that religion, spirituality, Christianity existed, you know, within a church and by following these Ten Commandments and doing all of that kind of stuff. And it was just always this mind game or this mental game or this game of addition and subtraction of like, am I doing enough? I just did this bad thing. So I better, you know, I'm sure I just lost favor with God. So I need to go find another way. So I was trying to approach the bigness of God or religion or whatnot through the church and all of that. But then there was this one hike and I remember it like so vividly, like it was yesterday, but it was probably, I don't know, 20 to 15 years now ago, but I'm just hiking along. It's a beautiful day. It's sunny out. It's cool out. It's just me. And all of a sudden I just had this like wave of like euphoria that I've never felt before. Like nothing else. And it wasn't like words or like, thou shalt go forth and do this. You know, it was just like this feeling, like every cell in my body was just like alive. And it was like, maybe it's just the endorphins. Maybe it's just this natural, beautiful scenery. I didn't really feel like I even needed to know the answer. I just knew something big was happening. And so I just sat with, like, I just dropped to my knees and I was like happy. And then all of a sudden just floods of tears. Mm. Like I'm just staring at everything around me and just like crying, like inconsolably, but in a happy, euphoric, joyous way. And I'd never felt that to that point. And I definitely never felt that, you know, inside the church. So it started this curiosity and questioning within me on maybe I'm trying so hard in this one realm to be connected with God when it's actually very easy in this other realm to find that connection, you know, with that. And so that started me on a journey 18-ish years ago. And now I'm just like, I'm in love with learning more about spirituality. I'm in love with learning more about other religions. Like at the time, again, Christianity, I was told, like, or maybe I'm not even told these words directly, but I just got the memo where it's like, oh, if you do yoga or if you meditate or if you read something about the Buddha, you're going to hell. And I'm like, damn, like there's some really good stuff here, but no, I can't do that because I'm going to hell. And then I finally just became at peace with like, no, that's not it at all. And then I read the Bhagavad Gita and I'm like, oh, there's some great stuff in here. And then I found more stuff in the Bible where it's like, wow, there's all of these religions have something to offer. But for me, religion wasn't just the answer. Religion was a way for my mind to try to play the spirit's game. And mm-hmm. so then, but I now I know how to play the spirit's game as well. And for me, that's adventure, that's nature, that's being present in the moment, that's all sorts of things. But yeah, mm-hmm. so I think that might encapsulate it without taking up 4 hours of a listener's time.
I know it's such a big thing to like try to even put language around, but I really love what you said because I can't remember the exact words you used, but like maybe that religious time period, it helped you make sense of the world in a certain way, but then it also perhaps limited you. And yeah. So when you got out into nature and had this visceral felt experience, that is what opened your mind to then maybe ask new questions or go deeper in what you did believe. And so it's amazing to me how, like, I've always said things like, when I go out in nature and on a hike, that to me is going to church. Like that yep. feels like church as I, not to dismiss people who go collectively gather in that way, but I just think there's a different kind of depth that you can experience that I think opens your mind to more. And that's what I hear you kind of saying you experienced 15 years ago in the woods. Like, I don't know, it has some mystical, magical effect on our psyche, I think.
Yeah. I think part of that is, at least for me, like ego work is something that 10 years ago, I didn't even know anything about, or maybe even 5 years ago, but something that I'm growing in that realm and working in that realm and trying to learn more in that realm. But ego work, so like anytime my ego's at play, I feel like there's automatically some level of disconnection from God or the bigger world. And so stepping into church, a lot of times was more of like my ego of like, oh, I'm probably a better Christian than these people, or who are those guys? Oh, they never show up on time. Or, you know, like the ego is trying to compare and like put me in my place in the world. Whereas in nature, I'm not worried about trying to impress the trees or the rocks or the sky. I'm just being present with who I am, where I am, and all of that. And so anytime I think my ego starts to play less of a role in my thoughts, that's when I'm able to better connect, you know, with the bigger the bigger purpose and mystery and beauty of this life.
Well said. Yeah. I think that's spot on. It just brings you to the present moment. And yeah, that kind of sense of ego falls away. And this kind of bleeds a little bit into this other piece of adventure that I want to touch on with you. And that is the idea of you know, freedom and authenticity, because I do think the more authentic we become, possibly the less egotistical we are in a way. Mm-hmm. But I know you and I both definitely share this value of freedom, both financial and like internal. So Chris, I'd love to know, you know, what are your thoughts on how you see both adventure and freedom connecting together?
Yeah. So freedom, you're right. It's always, if even as a young kid, like, you know, if I'm placed in a decision-making point of path A versus path B, I almost always chose the path that gave me more freedom. Like I didn't, from a young age, the idea of debt in, as it relates to money, like just didn't sound like anything I wanted to play with. That was picking up some of the messages from my grandparents who survived the Great Depression. And that's, who knows, like all sorts of ways I'm sure I was shaped by others on that sense of freedom. But I just knew I liked options. I liked opportunities. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, especially now, you know, in my 40s, I just want that more than ever. Like I feel so privileged in many ways, as well. I feel sometimes guilty, and I feel a sense of like, I want to help others to find more freedom in their life. Whether that's, you said, you know, with financial freedom, sure. That's a big one. We talk about that a lot, but just freedom in other ways too, like the freedom within, just the freedom to be you. And so where the freedom there then links to authenticity, because I think a lot of us are so shaped or conditioned by society and others' expectations and stories and all of that we've picked up in life, we've lost the authenticity there. And so we've built a life that maybe has responsibilities and burdens and obligations placed upon us, either through our own doing consciously or unconsciously, and it's limited some of our freedoms. And so then the tie to adventure, maybe I'm not going to connect this dot clearly, maybe you can help connect that in, but I just think that, yeah, like adventure helps you to become alive to yourself. When you become alive to yourself, mm-hmm. you understand your authenticity better. When you understand your authenticity better, you seek the freedom to continue on that journey. And I just don't want many barriers put in my place that's going to rob me of that opportunity to be on that journey. So maybe that connected them, or maybe not. But what do you think, Carrie?
I think you got it. You know, like you're coming at it from that position. And then I was kind of thinking more like, maybe I'm not the opposite, but a different angle of when you do finally find that freedom to be you, to live into authenticity, that in my personal experience, it takes you on a different kind of adventure. I think like when I stopped letting go of what people thought of me and just started asking myself, like, what do I want? What's right for me? And living into that, I kid you not, it's like every day, I don't know what's going to happen next. Like, it just feels liberating in a way, but also like I'm living into this unknown wild future territory, and it's so much fun. And so I kind of was thinking this, well, it creates more adventure. I do think too, that adventure opens up more of that questioning or wondering about like, how could I be more in tune with myself? But then conversely, it's like, yeah, it seems to be this cool interplay on both ends. It creates its own adventure. I don't know. What do you think?
No, yeah, I like that. As I was hearing those words, my mind started saying that, I'm not sure exactly where I picked this up, but like too much uncertainty is chaos and too little uncertainty is death. And while we could probably shoot holes in that, I think that's a beautiful way to put it too, where it's like, some of us have probably started to create a life where we've wanted to become so comfortable, or our life has been so uncomfortable. We just want that certainty, mm-hmm. of a paycheck, or we want that certainty of here's exactly what my 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. is going to look like and what my 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. is going to look like. So we need some level of certainty. But I think if we skew too far into that certainty, everything is already pre-planned out or everything is already dictated, then we lose that the spontaneity that just comes at life. That is so beautiful. Like, I just think of when I start to think of like how I know you or how I know some of these other people or why I'm in this group and all of that, a lot of that is just that letting go and spontaneity in the moment and everything. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I love that you touched on that, because this is something I've been thinking about recently anyways, is, you know, different risk tolerances when it comes to, let's just say, adventure or in life in general, and how maybe some people are more risk averse than others. And I do agree with you. Like, there has to be, if you've been in chaos and uncertainty for a large portion of your life, you will probably crave more stability. And that likely is a very healthy stage of development or evolution in your life. But like you said, if that becomes the total priority and we don't allow ourselves to, you know, take another risk or be spontaneous, then in a way it like, I guess, limits our growth or limits the opportunities, like we might experience those kind of serendipitous things that just kind of magically happen when you step out in that way and let go, like you said. So I don't know if it's on a spectrum or how it works, but I do agree, like, there, maybe somebody's listening, they're like, that's too much, you know, like I need just some predictability in my life. And maybe that's appropriate for where you're at, but also remembering, like, don't get so comfortable there that you're going to miss out on the rest of life and what might be calling to you.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah. So, gosh, we're covering all the bases. This is like, well, let me ask you, Chris, like, if somebody is the type that's maybe bent towards the comfort stage or comfort position, but they're thinking like, wow, I'd like to step out a little more, what would you say to them? Like, how would you counsel them or encourage them to kind of leave that known space?
Yeah, I have a bias, and I want to, like, if you haven't picked up on that already, but I have a bias towards the uncertain and the adventurous and the riskier, or the, a lot of times I've always told people I'm a contrarian, where it's like, if 8 out of 10 people want to go left, then I'm like, oh, well, something must be cool to the right. You know, it's probably scarier or riskier or more rewarding, but I might want to go to the right. So I have that natural lean in that direction. So that said, I think getting to know yourself and finding that authenticity and being able to let go of the other voices or the masks or the armor that you've put on to deal with the really hard shit of life, I think the more you can do that authentic piece, you'll find out what your adventure is. You'll find, you'll start to hear the whispers of this thing that's calling you to do something a little different than maybe you're doing today. Like, it's calling you to step away from that job, or it's calling you to maybe end a relationship that is no longer serving. And all of those things, as well as a million others, can be that step outside of that comfort zone. Because I think outside of the comfort zone is where growth happens. Ego wants you to stay in that comfort zone because ego doesn't like change. Ego loves safety and predictability and all of that. And ego is a great ally for a lot of us at various points in our life. But if we just let ego run our whole lives, in my opinion, you might end up at the end with a lot of regrets and all of that. And so I use that thought of like, when I die, I don't want too many regrets. That doesn't mean I like go out every day and bungee jump or any of that kind of stuff, but it means I want to check in with myself. I want to see what my needs are. I want to like just put down on paper, like this is a simple practical example, like put down on paper what's a hell, like what are the things that sound like a hell yes that you're either doing today, or these little nudges or whispers that you've been given, because those are answers that you may be able to write them off because our society says like, what, you can't write a book, or you can't write a song, or you can't illustrate a kid's, you know, book and all of that kind of stuff. Like we are so programmed to like, to ignore that voice and to grow up and to define success as either this paycheck or this CEO title or whatever that happens to be, that we lose sight of that voice. And that voice will never leave you. It's just whether you decide to listen to that voice and take action is either going to be your salvation, and not in a religious sense, but your salvation into living a happy, peaceful, joyous life, or it's going to be the thing that just drives you insane until it ultimately shows up. And maybe it looks like midlife crisis. Maybe it looks like, you know, whatever those things that we typically define as like someone who just finally snaps because they stopped, or because we never give it this name. But my opinion is when you break, when you have that midlife crisis, you've ignored your authentic self so long that eventually you have to show up in this way to really disrupt the hell out of your life. And that's your body's way of saying like, wake the F up.
100%. I love how you're so consciously articulating all of this, because I know it's true. I know it's true. I see it in people. I've lived it myself. And like kind of what I hear you saying is there is some level of deviating from the norm or not conforming to the masses that's required in order to tap in to who you really are, who you were before the world conditioned you right. to be where you're at. Right. And that will always take some level of courage to step out and do something different. So what I've learned is like, yeah, you will lose some things or some people, but the reward of what you have to gain, like your true self, the freedom, the internal freedom that comes from that is so worth it. It's so worth it. And, you know, like you were talking about, you don't want to live with regret. I think I read this article is like the top five regrets of the dying. And at the top was, I wish I would have lived more or like spent more time with my loved ones, you know, not prioritizing financial success or, you know, going after the things that our society deems are important. Like you said, the status or the title, but actually like living, embracing the people and learning about myself. And so anyways, I'm just like reflecting back to you that I think you're so spot on. I love the inspiration of the words that you're sharing with us, because I think if more people were able to pay attention to that and make those choices, gosh, like yeah. Talk about freedom collectively, you know?
So. Yeah. That when you said courage, this thing that I read last year popped into my head. I read this book, Courage is Calling by Ryan Holiday. And he tells the story of Florence Nightingale, which I knew extremely little of, but it was just the story behind the story is not just that Florence Nightingale was this nurse that helped people during this tricky time, but it was also that Florence Nightingale was born into privilege and royalty and all of that. And it was looked down upon for her to actually become a nurse or to want to help or serve people, because that's what different classes of people did. So she had this need and this feeling inside of her that she wanted to do this thing to really help people during the times of war and you know, to be able to administer aid and to help them and all of that. But she had this barrier put in place of the fact that that was beneath her station, and her parents were very against it. And they thought like they were, you know, threatened to like leave her out of the heirs or leave her out of like the fortunes and all of that because stuff if she wanted to go help these people. And it's just like, how insane is that? And I'm not talking about like 2000 years ago. This was only, you know, 100 years ago that was that pervasive in society. And so Like, can you imagine the courage that it took to hear those whispers inside of you to say, like, to hell with the money, to hell with the station in life, to hell with the privilege. I feel called to go put myself in danger to help these people. And it's like, man, couldn't we all do a little more with a little more Florence Nightingale type of in our life? You know, that just sounds like such an amazing thing. Like, you're so tapped into your authenticity and who you are and what you want to do that you're willing to, you know, make those kinds of I guess, decision points and sacrifices and all of that.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
I've left most of my church language behind me, except for that word, which feels appropriate. You're so right, you know, and while that word sacrifice maybe is in there, I think at the same time, if you're kind of like in tune and authentically connected to what you're about and what you're doing, it doesn't even feel like a sacrifice. It comes from.
I hesitated saying that word because as it was passing through my lips, I was like, I don't like sacrifice. I don't want to make it. we've murdered the shit out of that word to where we've rewarded people to, you know, sacrifice who they are to do a lot of other things in life. So I do caution the use of that word, or I should have.
No, it's okay. And it is appropriate in a way. I think maybe. Well, how we could reframe it to say like an act of generosity that, you know, it does cost energy, but it also returns something to us, a reward. And so I am so with you. I love how you're kind of pointing to that and the bigger purpose that we then become a part of as we choose these more authentic positions in life. So I feel like we could go on and on about this all day long. This has been so rewarding to have this conversation with you, Chris. And, likewise. You know, for the sake of time, I want to ask two final questions of you that I ask all my guests. And the first one is, what are you up to these days that you're excited about?
Yeah, I'm really excited these days. I'm part of this men's group called Front Row Dads, and we had a live Zoom call yesterday, and there's probably 40 or 50 of us on there. And I'm like, I am at, do you swear on this show?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, I am fucking living the life that I was meant to live, and I feel amazing. Like, so yeah, one of the things that is helping to bring that vigor is just this feeling that started 5, 6, 7 years ago of like, okay, I'm meant to do something besides this 40-hour week job, which I was still finding meaning and satisfaction in, but I'm meant to do something different. And that something different becomes more and more clear each year that passes by. But I want to share my love for nature, adventure, connection, growth, all of those things that are valuable to me. I want to share that with more people. And so I'm partnering up with some people and I'm putting some meetups and some events where we're getting, I'm leading, or we're leading, my wife and I, through Go Bucky Yourself. We're leading people into these environments and hopefully facilitating some conversations, much like what we're having today, that I feel like are sorely needed in the world. And so I'm just so excited, like at the privilege of that. I'm so excited for the, you know, just the growth that's gonna happen within myself, but more so just excited to see how this starts to have an impact on others and then how they can carry that out into their lives and to the people in their lives that are important to them. So I'm just beaming with ecstasy right now in that realm.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That as you're talking, I'm thinking like you've done so much work to prioritize freedom in your life that now you get to offer it to other people. You get to help them connect to something deeper in this very exciting context of adventure. So it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I think you said this a little bit in your last question, but if people want to get in touch with you or more of your content, where would you direct them?
Yeah, you can find the most consistent content if you go to our podcast. It's the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. So Go Bucket Yourself. If you search that on any of your podcasting players, you will find us. Yeah, my wife and I, we host that show. We have amazing guests like Carrie Doan on there, and we have these kinds of conversations because, as we talked before we hit record, we line up in so many of our values and so much of our excitement for life and what brings us joy, that it's just natural to communicate with each other back and forth. But anyways, you can find us there, the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. Our website's gobucketyourself.com. Again, I want to be, I love virtual connections. I love podcasts, but I just love being in front of another person, whether that's doing an adventure run like we did in Zion National Park last year, or if that's whitewater rafting here in Colorado. I just have a million ideas of how to connect with people. And if that's exciting to you, seek us out and reach out to us. We want to connect and we want to help in that regard. So
that's yes. How you can. I love that. I will definitely add a link in my show notes where they can find you. And I was just thinking about, like, you guys are such kindred spirits that you're like extending to even my audience, like reach out, connect. And that's exactly what I did. I don't know how many years ago with Deb. And I think it's so cool how things play out and the connections and the friendships. Especially with you two and now what you're offering to other people. So I will forever sing your praises. And I highly encourage everyone listening to definitely check out what they're up to and the conversations they're having, which are very parallel in some ways to what I'm doing here as well. So Chris, it has just been such a pleasure to have you in this conversation today and just, you know, I feel that inspiration that comes from imagining a bigger life that, you know, it incorporates not just freedom from living adventurously, but also that the freedom to authentically find and be ourselves in the process. So you've shared so many truth bombs today, and I really, really appreciate you letting us in on your journey and the wisdom that you've gleaned along the way on this wild ride. So I'm really grateful for your time here.
Oh, likewise, Carrie. Thank you.
Yes. So everyone, in the meantime, I encourage you to just consider stretching yourself and your imagination just a little bit wider so that you can feel the reward of a life well lived as you are going to live out your own unique adventure. If this episode resonated with you, I have something you are going to love. As you may know, part of what helps me live an authentic life is embracing one that is full of connection and adventure. Building a coaching business centered on connection has sparked many of my clients to their own success while offering me the passion of getting to do what I love every day. If you're curious about what it means to live a more authentic life, I have a free resource for 5 steps to live more authentically, to give you simple steps to start walking you toward your true soul-aligned self. I'll link it in the show notes, so definitely check it out if you're interested. I'm so glad you joined us, and remember to stay connected.